Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. We're glad you're with us on this 4th of July Eve. Special show for you today from the Southern Bancorp Studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Opening segment of our show every day. Sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant here at Oak Grove. 25 years of serving delicious buffet food to the Pine Belt, Monday through Sunday, Friday nights as well. Movie Star Restaurant right here in Oak Grove. Great place to take your family tonight. Okay, we're at the halfway point of the year. We've invited our friend and now frequent contributor to the show, Scott Kirk, sports director, WDAM-TV, to join Dima and I this afternoon. Scott, welcome, man.
Thanks for having me. Super, super happy to be on, especially in a very special week. 250 years of America.
Amazing.
I don't know how I'm going to celebrate, but I'm really excited.
It's amazing, really, isn't it? And we're very fortunate to live in this great country. Dima, happy 4th of July.
Hey, man. What a great celebration it will be, and it is. You know, 250 years of this country, it's just incredible when you think about the history, and I'm a big history buff, and just thinking of all the things that have happened over the last 250
amazing
years, you know, all the names, all the stories, all the politics in it, you know, it's just an amazing thing. And I was watching a Netflix documentary the other night, and you know, it's just, it was about this, it's called The Story of Us, and I thought that they just did a great job of documenting everything that's happened over the last 250 years.
Yeah, we all owe so much to the generations before
sure
that laid the groundwork and did all the, really did all the heavy lifting,
right?
You know, so guys like us can sit around and talk about sports,
right? And they were like soft,
and they were like guys like us, you know.
Correct.
Like, you know, you look at politics now and you see the Donald Trumps and the you know, all those people that they're almost like not even people almost, but like the guys who started the Revolutionary War, who declared independence from Britain. I mean, those are just farmers. They were just like
everyday people
who saw a threat to monarchy and said, no, we're going to do it a different way. We want to be free.
Right, who put their lives on the line,
sure,
and their lives meant just as much to them back in the 1700s as our lives mean to us today.
Absolutely.
So, well, Scott, welcome, man. Wanted to talk about athletics in general on today's show. Then we're going to talk specifically upcoming about football and basketball. But here we are halfway through the year, and we've talked a lot about baseball, so I don't think we need to rehash all that. But I want to throw this first question out to both of you. And, Scott, you're our guest, so we'll go with you first. Where, in your view, here we are in July of 2026, do the athletic programs like Southern Miss and other schools in the Sun Belt, where do they fit now in the big picture of collegiate athletics?
That's a very broad question. I think when you look in Sun Belt terms, I think everyone's trying to be like James Madison from a financial point of view. I think if you look at it, you know, from a whole conference point of view, James Madison is kind of your leader to take that next jump in a couple years. They just have the money. They have the success and consistency. And football's everything, right? They might be mid in basketball sometimes or baseball. But if you're good in football, that will propel everything else. I think Troy secretly is like the most consistent of the league, and nationally they're always in a conversation. They made an NCAA tournament last year. Obviously, they won a college World Series game. That's huge. Their women's program in basketball is always going to be very relevant. So they're always kind of in the mix, but very quiet because of where they're tucked in. Southern Miss kind of falls in there. Baseball, I think, is the only thing keeping them with a national status. Football is going to take some time to even get there one day. Basketball, it's going to take a lot of effort from Coach Ladner to make a run to get to that tournament appearance. I think right now for USM, in the middle to lower tier of the pack nationally, and then I think JMU's keeping the Sun Belt really afloat.
Interesting. Dima?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I would say Southern Miss is honestly one of its stronger points in the Sun Belt. You know, they finished third in the Commissioner's Cup, which I think is the highest they had ever finished in Jeremy McClain's, you know, tenure here. So I like where Southern Miss is at in the Sun Belt. Of course, you want to see them start succeeding in the postseason in all these sports. You know, football last season, you know, you had a real chance there to win the West, and you kind of, you know, you drop three games at the end. You know, basketball, you get to the semifinals, just so close. And then, of course, we all know what happened with baseball. So I think for the next step for Southern Miss, even if they could just get one of these major sports where they just take that next step, I think that could prove dividend for them.
Is that what you guys are saying they have to do? They have to start becoming successful in postseason competition to take another step forward?
Absolutely. And I'll paint this picture, too. I just look from a social media point of view with the younger generation. Obviously, social media is super huge. Let's take Coastal Carolina in 2025, right? Obviously, the Sun Belt was viewed at by a larger group of people as like a mid-major baseball conference. We know it's not, but social media-wise, Coastal Carolina was dubbed as America's team. Oh, they're the underdog. They're the Cinderella. They're a favorite. They didn't play like it. They weren't, but from a younger, you know, generation, they were. That could be Southern Miss, and that could attract a whole bunch of new fans from all over the country. How many fans we knew who bleed black and gold? They just clinged on to Brett Favre or one of the other great players. That could be USM from a branding point of view. They have the, you know, the colors, they have a good scheme, they got good stories. That could be a way to draw some attention, I think, you know?
What do they have to do to accomplish that, Damon?
I mean, it's a lot of things. I mean, that's, again, a bit pretty broad, but, I mean, you know, you got to have your revenue sharing, you know, even better than it is currently. You need your NIL budget to be better than it is currently. And not saying it's bad currently at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it can be better. And so, and I think Jimmy McClain would agree with that. In fact, he did agree with that when I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. And so, you know, it's hard because it's like you can do so much and then, you know, the ball bounces a different way or some things like that. But to best position yourself, you need to have the best rosters in the Sun Belt. And to do that, your revenue sharing and NIL have to be high. Mm-hmm. And so how they do that, you know, it kind of falls on the fans. You know, how much are they willing to give to the NIL, to the revenue sharing budget, to the, to all those collective things? And honestly, I think they're almost handcuffed in the fact that they need that from their fans. But again, the fans are kind of like, well, how much money am I going to give until you guys start producing? So that's what I'm saying. I said, you know, if you take the big three, football, baseball, basketball, I think if they could just succeed in one time, I think that, like Scott was saying, not only social media, but it could also excel their intake of revenue sharing athletic budget. I mean, we saw it in, you know, when they hosted the back-to-back super regionals, the talk, the, you know, attraction to Southern Miss was at an all-time high. And you saw that kind of reflect in the other sports when basketball had a good season after that, you know, when, you know, football, not as great, but that there was other circumstances there. Mm-hmm. Football had a good year this year in 2025. You know, what happened? Basketball had a decent year, went far in the tournament. You know, baseball had what they normally do. So it all falls on each other, but still there's got to be one that finally takes the next step.
Do you guys agree with this? If you look at Southern Miss in the perspective of, and I hate to use this term, but all the mid-major programs in the country, basketball near the very top, but in the other two big sports, sort of middle of the pack in the group of, you know, the non-revenue leagues. Is that a fair assessment?
You mean baseball at the top?
Well, baseball is at the top, but football and basketball at Southern Miss, sort of in the middle of the pack of the mid-majors.
I think JMU is doing a lot of heavy lifting for football. I don't know what they'll do this year with Coach Napier I don't know if they make another college football playoff bid. They kind of landlocked that with a new structure. But I think JMU did a lot of heavy lifting. I'm not sure where that money goes. I hope it helps all the teams. It seems like they're always looking for more money nowadays. But I would think right now the Sun Belt's kind of in that, yes, middle tier, but not the lowest. I think there's definitely a lot worse out there.
And Southern Miss would be in the middle of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, for sure. Football-wise, yeah, I don't know how much time we have, but I am curious to ask you guys this, if you don't mind. How much do you think football is maybe holding back other sports? Just because we know how crucial it is to every athletic program. When you have a great football team, it propels everything else.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a great question, and that's a great segue coming into the second segment, because we're going to talk about football, but that's a very legitimate point.
Sure.
how much is football holding back everything else? And you may be surprised to hear what I think, but I think it's significant because I think so much centers around football, not only at the university, but in the community, the business owners in the community. It is the driving force. And right now, it's just not pushing like it needs to. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. And like I said, I keep referencing my interview with Jerry McClain that I did a couple weeks ago, which you can go back and read those stories and watch that interview. But he said it, and I even asked him, I said, how important is football attendance to this athletic budget? And he said, it is critical. And he said, we have to find ways to get it high throughout the entire season. And he said, it's critical to our budget.
Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV, Dima Mixon, Bob Getty. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg the day before the 4th of July. As we head to the break, don't forget about our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are all at Mississippi's exclusive dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. More of the Super Talk Eagle Hour right after this short break.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West. They're the sponsor of the second segment of this program. Our buddy Matt Warren runs the place out there. His dad runs Eagle Tire on Hardy Street. Between them, they sell products like Goodyear and every major brand tire. They do full service work for cars and autos, and trucks, and they're big Southern Miss supporters. And most importantly, they're locally owned. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. We hope that you'll stop by and say hello to our friends there. Also, hope you'll check out our podcast when you miss our show live. You can find it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa, Siri will play it for you. Thousands of you find us that way every month, and we're very grateful for that. Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV, Dima Mixon, Bob Getty, all in the Southern Bancorp studio. All right, Scott, you laid down the perfect segue for this segment. You talk about the engine that is football, the importance of you having a successful football program. And I'm going to add to that when my turn comes, but to finish your thought.
Absolutely, Bob. I think nowadays, especially in today's climate of college sports, football fuels everything. I think baseball has had its tradition of excellence. We know what it can produce. Basketball is chasing that goal of an NCAA tournament. But I think football being successful propels everything else. That's where all the money goes to. All the NIL budget, most of the revenue sharing, it all comes from football. Look at James Madison. I just mentioned them earlier. Everyone's chasing them from a financial standpoint. You don't think their CFP bid last year helped them tremendously with their budgeting? Of course it did. And of course it helps the rest of the conference. They all get a share. But football's so important to everything. I think consistency-wise, from a national relevance standpoint, it's the engine that fuels everything. Look at Troy. I mentioned them too. Since 2022, they have two Sun Belt titles. They made the Sun Belt championship game three times. That's the consistency I think this program wants to get back to. I think for far too long now, football has really been stale. And I know last year they had some steam, but they're on their third coach in 3 years. It's going to take some time with Blake Anderson. He knows how to win, but it would change everything in this town from an athletic standpoint to see football winning 8-plus games every single year. No question about it. No doubts. You can't leave any doubts. I think there's been doubt for far too long.
Here's how I know you're right. I lived here during the glory days of football, and I know, Dima, how insane this city was and this area was over Southern Miss football. And there's a direct correlation, I understand, between student enrollment and success in college football.
Absolutely. Yeah, they have to, you know, as much as people don't like to talk about it, the price of everything is up. Football tickets, concession stands, and I'm just going to say it, it's expensive. I mean, when you think, let's just say the average ticket for 50-yard line seats is $50, which it's more than that, but I'm just giving a baseline for easy math because I was homeschooled.
I wish, Nima.
I was homeschooled. Let's just say it's $50, right? You got a family of four, $200, just like that. You got to find a place to park. So you're walking your 2-year-old and 5-year-old all throughout the campus, and then you get to the concession stand, and it's $12 for one hamburger, and you know all your kids want a hamburger. You're talking about a $300 to $350 day, you know, just for football, which I understand why it's that expensive, because they have to pay these players, so they need the revenue. But at the same time, you're like, man, would that in a sense increase your attendance if the admission was less, you know, expensive? Mm-hmm. And in a way, would you make more money? I don't know. But it certainly is the driving force. And I think this community has gone too long where you get to this point on July 3rd or whatever day it is, and you're not excited.
Yeah. That's funny you say that. That used to be the kickoff day.
Sure.
When July 4th rolled around, you began to think about Southern Miss football, and you began to get excited about it. But, you know, to accomplish the things that you guys are talking about, Scott, there's one common denominator.
You got to win.
You have to win.
Absolutely. I'm also thinking, too, I think one thing that's kind of held, you know, I think football back for USM and a lot of other schools is the transfer portal. We get those issues fixed. I think the talent in this area, in the Pine Belt, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Western Florida, is good enough to win 8-plus games a year. It's about keeping them, right? If we fix the portal to where you have one window a year, you know, guys transfer one time in their career, you can keep guys at Southern Miss. And then once you start winning, Southern Miss all of a sudden becomes so much more attractive. Why does baseball get the portal guys they do? It's because they're consistent. It's because they win. That's what James Madison does. I know we keep mentioning them, but that's the model you want to shoot for. Mm-hmm. Right now in football, Southern Miss is like, oh, I got to take a chance. Right. They're not there in football yet where it's a sure thing to improve your stock. When's the last time they had an NFL guy? It's been a while. Mm-hmm. Southern Miss used to produce so many guys in the NFL.
Sure.
They need to get that again.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think it's important that – I think that's why they decided to hire Blake Anderson. Because, like Scott said, this is their third coach in 3 years. You just can't keep doing that as an athletic. You know, you can't just keep cycling in and out coaches. Let's say hypothetically, and of course this is a rebuilding year, but let's say Blake Anderson goes 9-3 this year. He's back next year. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not looking for other opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important. They have to establish some consistency. You know, the Will Hall eras were a disaster. You get Charles Huff in here, you start 7-2, you're like, wow, you know, somebody can win here, you know, and that was important to see. And then he leaves. And so you're kind of in this cycle, which, like Scott said, it's already a tough enough when you're in a cycle of players, but you can't get in this cycle of coaches, too. Mm-hmm. That's where the program is in real trouble.
And remember, prior to Will Hall, when Jay Hobson resigned, I think he had two or three coaches the same year.
Yeah.
So if you those...
Two interims that year.
Right. If you add those, the coaching turnover is just beyond ridiculous.
Right.
And but don't people have to understand that come this fall and give Blake Anderson 2 or 3 years to build this thing back up?
That's the rough part. And I'm not trying to reopen old wounds. I understand why they got Charles Huff. We all knew he was looking to advance his career. It was working, though. It was a temporary thing to get relevant now, get some attention now, maybe win 9 games. It was working, but he failed to deliver. And I'm not trying to reopen old wounds. I understand why they did that. The tough part is now with Coach Anderson, it's going to take time. Yeah. It's you know, you're asking fans again to be patient. How much longer can they be patient, though?
But can we say honestly that I don't believe when Charles Huff was hired, I don't believe Jeremy McClain thought he would leave after the first year.
Maybe what Jeremy thinks and what I think are different. And obviously, Jeremy's a really smart guy. He knows what he's doing. But I think just college football trends and everything, nothing can be off the table, right? Mm-hmm. I think me personally, if Charles Huff would have won those 9 games, if Charles Huff would have got to the Sun Belt Championship and left, That's acceptable. But I think he obviously failed on his promise when you lose four straight to end the year. And that's reopening old wounds. I know we're on Blake Anderson now, but that's just revisiting.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because we talk a lot of times about Ohio State, Texas, and Georgia trying to buy a championship. And in a way, when you know you bring Charles Huff in here, he had already won a championship, and you're kind of like, you're coming to buy one. Right, you're coming here to
make history.
To get Southern Miss back into the national relevancy. So you're right, where I think that, in Jeremy's mind, that might have been a two-year vision.
Yeah.
And so, but since it wasn't, and it didn't play out that way, you know, he honestly, Huff left the department in, as far as personnel-wise, in a terrible situation.
Yeah, it's like what I do in the video game. I just go somewhere, hop on it, and then leave. No repercussions.
Yeah, no, and I don't know that the football program has ever had a more bare cupboard than what Blake Anderson inherited.
And like I said, you know, Blake knows what he's doing, you know, and he's done it before. He has his resume, but he's never attacked this. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think will shape his first year here. Of people will judge him based on how he attacked this, and I don't think that's fair, but I just know it's going to happen.
What's a good season, Scott?
I think in 2026, a good season is winning six games. I really do. I think that's a big success for a lot of questions to be answered on the roster. I think that'd be a great season. I really do.
Damon, six wins?
I think looking competitive in most games you play, I think that's a successful season. You have 80 new players on the roster who've never played football together.
Right, right.
You need to look competitive.
And the second game is Auburn, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
So, I mean, you're going to have to get competitive real fast, or the second week.
Let's start with Alcorn State.
The second week could be pretty ugly. Yeah, on the Plains, right?
Yeah, right. I think that's a night game.
Great. National TV, right?
Yeah, I think it's on ESPNU.
So we all agree that 6-6 would be a heck of a job by Blake Anderson.
A second straight bowl game. That's what matters, right? We're starting to see consistency, guys. Southern Miss, two straight bowl games, back on the map.
Is that realistic?
I personally think a four-win season would be a success.
I'm not saying that they'll get to a bowl game, but I think that's a huge...
You're saying that would be just a banner year.
Yeah. Is six wins their ceiling?
I don't know yet, but I would think it's pretty successful given what I'm hearing and all the non-Division I guys on the team. Yeah, I would say it's...
I think it's going to take them some time to adjust to Division I football.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, basketball. It'll be starting. Heck, I think it's already starting, is it not?
Yeah, first game's Friday.
Back with Damon Scott right after this.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, are you an adult athlete? Like to play tennis, maybe pickleball, golf? They can make your game better at DBAT. It's not just baseball and softball. They've got training programs for every adult athlete at DBAT. They're on Hardy Street. Ask for Luke Reynolds. He's the GM down there, and they will have a program that will make you better than you ever thought you could be. DBAT on Hardy Street. Hey, our friends at MCS Home Center remind you, too, that for home repair, remodeling, or construction, they have everything you need for your next project. They're located on Highway 98 West, our Hattiesburg new improvement home center. Local folks eager to serve you. 7329 Highway 98 West. No nicer family in the world than the family that owns MCS Home Center, and they are, of course, huge Southern Miss supporters. Scott Kirk from WDAM-TV, Dima Mixon, Bob Getty. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here on 4th of July Eve, a very early happy 4th of July to everyone listening. All right, guys, so we've kind of discussed football. We all agree that it's the driving engine, and the improvement of the football program would be crucial to the overall health of the athletic department. Scott, I will contend that the sport that has the potential to make you the most money is basketball. Because if you can get in the NCAA tournament and win a game or two, you receive revenue for years. And the overhead of basketball is so much less than football, even baseball. Basketball could be an economic engine for the athletic department, but we hate to beat a dead horse. You got to get in the postseason.
I think they're working on it. I think I know Jay Ladner gets a lot of flack sometimes, but I think Jay delivers a lot as far as getting talented guys here. I look at some of the guys on the roster and I go, who is this? Who is this? Well, $1.5 million later, Tylik Weeks is playing for Memphis now, right? I think Jay can get the guys here. I think sometimes he just gets a bad draw. Like, last year, Isaac Tavares getting hurt. How many times did they have their stars on the same floor? You saw it in the Sun Belt tournament, but obviously they had to, win like 4 games in a row to get there. They were a game away from doing it. I think they're really close. I think Jay knows he's close. Getting Isaac back this year is crucial. I think you just need a little bit of like luck from Hail Mary.
I agree with what you said. Is this a make or break year for Coach Ladner?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and he knows it. Basketball's so hard at this level. The immense roster turnover, the money that's in it. I mean, like we said, Tylik Weeks, $1.5 million to play at Memphis.
Still hard to believe.
And it's no offense to Tylik. He's a great basketball player.
Yeah. Personally, I don't know if he wanted to leave. I think he had no choice,
Right. Well, that kind of money. Absolutely.
I'd have moved to Memphis for $1.5 million.
Yeah. Are you offering that, Bob, for me?
No, Dima.
He pays us on the show about $1 million.
$500,000. Oh,
that's
I can do.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. NIL deals at Super Talk are crazy right now.
No, but I mean, but think about it. And this is what I was telling Jay. I ran into him, but just around Hattiesburg. But it's Memphis. Like, Memphis has been historically a good basketball program, even in their Conference USA days. But that's Memphis in the American Athletic Conference.
It's not Duke.
It's not Duke, right? It's not North Carolina. It's not UConn or Michigan or whoever won the title in the last few years. That's Memphis. And that's how much they're paying a player at Memphis. Like, think about how much they're paying a player at those other schools. And that just, in perspective, in my head, shows me how far down Southern Miss is in men's basketball. Because it's kind of a cost-benefit analysis sort of thing of, how much revenue sharing and how money do we put into basketball, right? Like, how much return on investment are we going to get? Because let's just say, and again, I'm using easy math here because I was homeschooled. Let's just say you put $100,000 into your basketball NIL budget, which is much more than that, but that's just for the sake of the argument. Okay, let's just say $100,000. You go 26-0 in the regular season and then lose the first game in the conference tournament.
You're out.
You're out. You're done. That $100,000, So, and that's why basketball is so hard, because you have to consistently rebuild these rosters year in and year out and year in and year out. And you can have good teams every once in a while. You can hit some luck and have some good teams, but it's not – I mean, I don't know how much you can really base it on coaching at this juncture.
I agree with that, and I don't want to beat this dead horse because we've beat him pretty hard, but they play in a terrible facility. And if you're going to recruit kids, they want to know where they're going to play. And I understand, Scott, that this progress is underway, but gosh, this is painfully slow.
That's right. I was just going to say, what's a successful 2026-2027? Progress on Reed Green.
That would be great.
At this rate, it's going the same speed as I-59.
right.
I'm sure when I leave here today, I'll probably hit some delay. No, I understand. There's a lot of things that they can't control. And I know we poke fun at everything. Sometimes with construction,
but it's important,
and politics.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's super important. Absolutely important. I think they all know it. Because one day, when you start doing premium events inside Reed Green, whether it's like concerts, wrestling shows, comedy shows, you name it, and you get that additional revenue, that could be huge. Mm-hmm. Really. Mm-hmm. That might be another driving force just for this athletic program as a whole. If you keep doing constant shows and you keep selling that place out, mm-hmm. maybe you can't sell out a basketball game, but if you sell out a concert consistently just for events like that, that could be another big driver.
You know, if you are Jay Ladner or a coach in a similar situation, man, you have to do an awful lot with an awful little. And you have to try to find players that can make you competitive enough to win a league with teams like Troy in it and Arkansas State and some pretty good basketball teams with no, I hate to say this, but in today's world, you got to have money. You got to go buy players. And so you're buying, in a way, with all respect, discount athletes.
I do feel like Jay, I don't know, it feels weird to say that. I feel like Jay does a good job for, like, getting a bargain. You know, he does a really good job of, like, a good ROI with, like, what he's dealt. I think what kind of helped Jay this year, really for the most part, he had to do a lot of the work himself when he was hiring that staff, and now he has that staff this year. I think he, in his mind, he was like, okay, I'm back at Jones College. JUCO mindset. New roster every year and out. New roster every year and out. I almost feel like that helped him because he had so much success at JUCO that might have helped him this year. You know, that like mindset shift.
Yeah, and back on the renovations, I just wanted to note that they announced these renovations May 1st, 2024. So we're over almost 2 years and 2 months to the day of those being announced. And, I mean, it just hasn't gotten off the foot. And I keep referencing my interview with Jeremy McClain, which, again, you can go read and watch and all those things. But he said probably about 2 years away from this being completed. So you're looking at, you know, 2028, 2029 when this thing is done at Reed Green Coliseum. And I don't know. That's just – it's hard for me to believe. And I understand renovation projects take a while. There's a lot of alternating factors that some are out of their control. But it certainly, I think, is going to take longer than anybody had originally thought.
Where can I go and read the interview?
HubCitySpokes.com/sports.
Yep. I'm sure it's a good one, too, and you should check it out. Guys, I was shocked this past year. I was really thinking about the renovation, and I paid really close attention to the venues when I was watching the team play. And one that just jumped off the screen at me was McNeese State. Now, you would not think that McNeese State had a basketball arena, modern, beautiful, no comparison to the arena here. So that has to be completed before you can realistically, I think, expect the basketball team to consistently compete for a conference championship. Is that unfair?
No, I don't think it's unfair. Now, we've seen the team compete for a conference championship with the Reed Green Coliseum renovation. You know,
but on a regular, consistent
basis. On a regular basis, absolutely. It's just such a big recruiting tool. You can show pictures and you can show these things, but when these kids are only staying here for a year, I mean, how much is that helping you until it's complete?
I agree. Any immediate solutions that you can think of?
I really don't know. Look, if we can't even get I-59 fixed in a timely manner, what makes you think that Reed Green will be done?
They need to
soon
get
too?
The guys who set up all the restaurants right here, Qdoba.
No kidding, because, boy, they
got up in about 2 months.
That's right.
They
yeah,
sure did.
Wingstop, yeah. Firehouse, Qdoba, the three for me special. Yeah, let's get that going on, you know, construction-wise.
Yeah, I can't tell you how happy I am to have the Firehouse subs here in Oak Grove. Man.
Life lesson. Anything that involves the government will never be fast or efficient.
I think we can all.
Which is why the PASS College Sports Act will be enacted in 2050.
Well, I think that's the hope, actually. I think that's really the first glimmer of hope we've seen that may be a solution to the insanity. Am I right?
Right, and I'll be 48 to see it happen.
Right, and we also already know the two power conferences are fighting it and opposing it.
That's just so funny.
This is how bad we've gotten. We're begging for the government to save us. This is how bad we've gotten now.
Old Chuck Grassley.
Oh, well, I feel better now. now that he's running the show.
He's got it packed down.
All right. Now, when we come back, we'll kind of wrap up this conversation. Look ahead and get these guys what their thoughts are. Football, obviously, is next. And talk maybe a little bit more about that. As we head to the break, Forest Health reminds you that it's important to keep up with your favorite team, but you are the most important player. Get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, do everything you can to make your health as good as it can be. Forest Health will help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, you got any gold, silver hanging around your house, maybe old jewelry, old coins, and you want to turn them into cash? Only one place to go, Jewel Masters, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Marty Vick been buying gold and silver longer than anybody. And he'll make sure your transaction is confidential, quick, and you'll walk out with top dollar. Don't be fooled by the Johnny-come-latelys. Take your gold and silver to Jewel Masters. And if you've got a place, upcoming event you want to cater, well, there's no better place than Dickie's Barbecue Pit. That is their specialty. They can cater any event, whether it be five people or 500. Just reach out to the great guys at Dickie's Barbecue. It's also a great place to enjoy a good meal. All right, 4th of July tomorrow. So you had an interesting question you wanted to ask us, Scott. Go ahead.
All right, fellas. What's going to go on your 4th of July spread? What are you bringing to the cookout? What are you going to reach for on the paper plate? I'm interested in me. I'm a big hot dog guy. So
I love hot dogs.
Hot dogs, 4th of July. For dessert, cookie brownie, but then fireworks, the best part. But I like those cookies. It's like the sugar cookies with the frosting on them. Those are really good.
Damon, what's going to be on your plate?
I mean, you can't celebrate America without eating a hamburger.
Right.
You know, I want one of those big, juicy hamburgers that's one where you squeeze the bun down and the juice all flows out of it. You know, that's to me the best burger. Mm. I actually put salad dressing on my hamburgers. I'm kind of a weird guy in that, but
what kind of salad dressing?
Like a Italian vinaigrette or white balsamic. Yeah.
Wow.
And then like steak seasoning and then salt, pepper, lettuce, pickles, mustard.
Tomatoes.
No, I don't eat tomatoes.
Mayonnaise?
No, I can't eat mayonnaise. I'm allergic to that.
Oh, okay.
Not to go off topic, we got the hot dog eating contest tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
How many hot dogs do you think you guys could eat in 10 minutes? Obviously, you're not going to compete with Chestnut. But I feel like I could probably do about 10. I could probably do one a minute.
You could eat 10 hot dogs?
In 10 minutes, I think I could.
I'd probably could eat two.
Because the hot dog contest, they have 10 minutes to scarf them down. I love hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna rush. I think in 10 minutes I could probably do.
Don't you think that man feels sick that afternoon?
That's his Super Bowl every year. That's like his one day of relevance.
Does he go regurgitate those hot dogs? You think?
Joey Chestnut has as many hot dog championships as the Celtics have NBA championships.
I just had a bad image
of him coughing up what 50 hot dogs.
No, I just thought of Kelly in a hot dog eating contest.
No,
well, that's actually where he's going. He's actually training to go eat in the contest tomorrow.
No, let me tell you, he's sorry. He had a beignet eating contest years ago with Luke Johnson, and Luke curb stomped him.
Wow,
Kelly's a lot of talk. He ended up eating all the beignets, and then he looked like Rick James. He had so much white powder on him. But he just got curb stomped. Well, guys, I'm going for charcoaled hamburgers, chicken wings. Mm. And how do you have the 4th of July without a big slice of watermelon?
There you go.
Cold watermelon.
Smith County?
In the pool.
With salt on
with
top
sweet
of it.
Salt.
Oh, yeah, on watermelon?
I've never heard of that. But
that's nasty.
No, wow. Try it. You'll go, man, Bob was right about that. All right, 2 minutes left. Football, basketball. Give me your outlook, Scott Kirk. What is a realistic expectation for both sports?
I think for football, a realistic expectation is to flirt around 500, maybe below 500 for the season. I'm not going to give a win-loss total, but I think expectation is to want to be competitive and have some sort of thing to hold on to for 2027. Basketball, I think you need to be consistent. You have Isaac Tavares coming back. I trust Jay Ladner with talent building. I trust Jay Ladner to deliver another millionaire because his track record has shown it. I think basketball should compete to win the Sun Belt tournament.
Okay.
I do. Okay. I think Jay thinks that too.
All right. Damon?
Yeah, football, you know, like I agree with Scott. You know, the expectations for football should always be bowl game competing for Sun Belt title. That should always be your expectations in football. My outlook on football, though, is that this is probably not the team that's going to achieve that expectation. And who knows? They could surprise us. Basketball, I think you need a very solid regular season. That's somewhere you've kind of struggled over the past couple years. You've historically looked decent in the Sun Belt tournament. I think if you could get a strong regular season to put yourself in a better seeding where you're not having to win four or five games in March, that to me is should be a good expectation. Have a solid regular season in the Sun Belt.
I would agree pretty much with what you guys say. I think 6-6 would be a stretch in football. I think it's going to be a year of patience. I think 4 or 5 wins would be progress.
I think it's like, how many guys can you keep for 2027? The guys that pop, if they do, can you keep them?
Well, there's the question.
That's promise, right? Now, that, I think, is the key, right? How many players can fans remember for next year?
Correct. Well, I think that's right. And I'll say this, guys. I think basketball is going to be better than people think. We've talked a little bit about the roster that Jay has put together, and I agree with you, Scott. I'm a big Jay Ladner fan. I think he's a really good coach, and I don't think he's gotten everything he was promised when he came here. That'd be the subject for another program, I guess. I think basketball will be very competitive in the Sun Belt, and the goal has to be to win the dadgum tournament.
Yeah. Can they win a bye game? They almost did it last year.
Yeah.
Tied at halftime with Miami.
You know? South Carolina. They should have beat South Carolina. Yeah.
I think they did beat South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think that one got jerked away from them. But anyway. Scott, thank you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Happy 4th of July, 250.
Dina, happy 4th of July to both
of
you guys. Very special 4th of July.
Absolutely.
I hope you get your hot dogs, you get your hamburgers, and put some salt on the watermelon.
No,
let me know what you think about that. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great, happy, and safe 4th of July. Southern Miss to the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.